So we're going to dive right off into the Bible here. And we're going to be on page one of your handout. I also want to tell you, as we go through the lesson today, we're going to also address the written questions. So if you're kind of following with the written questions, you'll see there's scriptures presented and then there's questions presented. And as we get to each of those scriptures, we'll be answering those questions in the context of our teaching, okay? With that, I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Amen. There is a very clear statement in the Old Testament about God's sovereignty. And something I want you to consider is a quote by R.C. Sproul, and it goes like this. "An affirmation of sovereignty is simply an affirmation of theism." Okay? What's R.C. saying? Well, he's saying, if you say that God is sovereign, it's the same thing as saying that God is God. If you affirm that God is sovereign, then you simply affirm that He's God. Because to speak about God is to speak about sovereignty. Amen? So with that, I'm going to try to define for you a little bit about sovereignty. Now, today is just an overview, okay? Today is an overview of the understanding of the sovereignty of God. What will follow throughout all the coming months is going to be a breaking down of all of the specific biblical topics that are relevant to the sovereignty of God. And, of course, if you have your outline, you may or may not have it. What we're going to do is we're going to break down and we're going to look at different parts of the sovereignty of God. The first, which we're addressing today, is just an overview, but we're talking about the very nature of God. That God, by nature, by a characteristic that He possesses, is His sovereignty. Okay? And so for the next few weeks, today and the next two following weeks, I hope to talk about God's nature. The nature of God and His sovereignty. And so this week we're going to try to define what sovereignty means. Next week I'm going to hit on omnipotence, the fact that God is all-powerful. The week after that I'm going to talk about omniscience. Now I want you to know something. These topics are laid out in a very specific order. There is a method to learning these doctrines because pretty soon we're going to be into some things that it's going to be very important for you to understand that God is all-powerful. It's going to be very important for you to understand that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Okay? Because we're going to struggle with things like decrees. God's decrees. God's foreordination of all things. We're going to struggle with things like providence. We're going to talk about the fact that God is involved with everything that goes on in the world. And if you don't understand God's omnipotence and His omniscience, you have no ability to comprehend these doctrines properly. Okay? So it's important that you, if you can't be here, at least get the handout. And if you can, listen to the CD or the tape of what we're talking about. And as we go, we're kind of building a foundation here for understanding some of the things that get really difficult to understand. A little further on, as we start talking about God's purpose and his the plan of redemption and how sovereignty works with our prayer, and how God is involved in controlling things and answering prayer, and how can we make free moral choices and God still be sovereign. All of those kinds of things are going to be very difficult to understand, and that's why we've got to have a handle on the very nature of God and the nature of His sovereignty and the nature of His providence. Okay? And then when we get a little further down the road, we're going to dive into God's sovereignty and salvation. And of course, you know, this is probably, if not the most controversial issue in the church, it ranks way up there. Okay? So it's going to be a very difficult thing to work through if you don't have a good handle on the very character and nature and purpose of God in His sovereignty. Okay? So I want to encourage you to make sure you're learning these things, because the further along we go here, we're going to get out into some deep water. Okay? And it's important that you have this foundational understanding. Okay, with that, let's talk about sovereignty and what it means. God is sovereign. But what does this mean? The word sovereignty means supreme authority. Supreme authority. When we talk about sovereignty, we're talking about the highest level of authority. That God is the one who's at the top. That there is no higher authority than Him. That God is authoritative and responsible. Okay? God is the one to be appealed to. Why? Because He is the highest authority. If you are going to appeal, you want to appeal to God. Amen? Okay? So, sovereignty literally means supreme authority. And in earthly realms, speaks of one who holds the highest place of authority, such as a monarch, or a president, or a ruler of a province or a territory. But consider that when this term is applied to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that the meaning takes on a much fuller sense. God is in heaven, and having made the world by His own power out of nothing, and is even now sustaining everything by His powerful word, God is the sovereign King above all earthly and heavenly powers and authorities, as the Scripture says in Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Now there you have a very clear, explicit statement in the Bible about God's authority. Amen? And not only is it presented as sovereignty, but it describes His sovereignty as a rule. God rules over what? All. Right? It would be enough if the Scripture simply said, God is sovereign. Or God is sovereign over all. But it says this, He has established His throne in heaven, and His sovereignty rules over all. You see, it's expressing God's authority. It's expressing His rule. It's expressing His power over everything. Okay? Clear, explicit statement in the Scripture, Psalm 103:19. Well, the truth is, God does possess absolute dominion and authority over all things. Now, how many of you know that? I mean, I think even as a little child, we know something real simple like this, don't we? God is God. Right? And when you think about God, what do you think about? I mean, from the age of a little child, I'll tell you what I think about. I think about transcendency. God is God, man. He's the highest. He can do anything. He's God. Amen? I remember that thought about God being in my mind from as early as I can remember being able to think. Now, I don't know if that's because my mom was so faithful to tell me that God was God. Or, you know, I can remember asking her the question, Mom, who made God? Right? So here comes the little child and tests the mother with the great question of theology. Right? And my mom was very wise. And she answered like this, Son, God has always been. Nobody made God. He's the creator. And that just sent my mind to really... I'd go away scratching my chin. You know, because I could look around and see the creation. I knew somebody made everything. That was obvious. But who made God? Amen? Nobody made God. God is self-existent. He is the one who was and who is to come. Amen? And He's the only one. He's not God's, is he? No, he's God. Singular. He's the Holy One. Amen? He's the Sovereign One. He's the Creator. He possesses absolute dominion. And so he is said to sit on a throne in heaven. Now think about what that implies. God is on a throne. What does that mean? He's ruling. Amen? And these, of course, are pictures for us to understand. When we think about a throne in earthly realms, what do we think about? We think about the sovereign. We think about the supreme authority, the one who's on the throne. Well, listen, when we talk about the heavens and the earth and everything that's been created, that's God. God is on the throne. And that's what the Scripture says. He has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Just think how ridiculous it would be to say that God created the universe, but He is not in control of what takes place in it. You know, God made the world, and He fashioned the world, and He set a boundary for the sea, and He planted a few trees on the mountains, and He set the wind to blow in, and the weather patterns, and He's got the whole thing in perfect balance, orbiting around the sun, and He's got the whole thing in all of its glory and majesty, which, by the way, was just a small example of His mighty power. He could have done that a trillion times over, right? With a spoken word. But He made all those things, set it a-spinning, and then put man on there, and now all of a sudden the world is just running away from God. And things are just falling apart. Poor God, what's He going to do? You see how ridiculous that is? It is worthy of ridicule to think that God is not in control of the world that He created. He sits on a throne in heaven. The earth is His footstool. That's where He props His feet. And again, that's just another picture for us to understand His mighty, vast power. Right? Amen. You with me? Amen. I need a lot of amens, you know. Sorry. But when you talk about God and His mighty power, what else can the saints say but amen? Because we've all been touched. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, the truth is, God not only controls nature and history, but He literally sustains the entire universe by His power and orders the events of His entire creation to accomplish His own purposes and plans. Friends, we must understand that what is happening in the world is happening at the express purpose and will of God, who rules the world and all who are in it. He, the Scripture says, is the Lord of heaven and earth, Acts 17:24. And whatsoever happens in the world happens because God has permitted, indeed He has decreed it to happen. And there you'll see in parentheses I put the words, the decree of God. I want you to remember that. Okay? I made a statement, and it went like this. Whatsoever happens in the world happens because God has permitted, indeed has decreed it to happen. Okay? And then I gave you this theological term, the decrees of God. Okay? I want you to take that little term, the decrees of God, and I want you to start thinking about it. What does this mean? That God decreed whatsoever happens in the world. Okay? Think about that. We're going to address that. Although there is much evil in the world, which God hates, He is allowing these things to achieve His eternal purposes, which will, without a doubt, come to pass. God not only permits the events of human history, but has ordained them from eternity past. And there I put another little term for you. You see that one? Foreordination. Okay? Now listen to what we've said. That God not only permits the events of human history, but has ordained them from all eternity. That we call foreordination. Now I want you to take that little term, foreordination, I want you to start thinking about it. Foreordain. Okay? And think about now, the things in the world that are happening have been ordained by God beforehand. okay? Because we're going to address that topic. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that, okay? And he is furthermore actively involved in seeing that they all come to pass. And there's another term for you there. Providence. Okay? God is actively involved in seeing that the things he has ordained will come to pass. That we call providence. God is providentially controlling the universe he has created. Okay? Now, take that little term, providence. Start thinking about what it means. When you read through your Bible, I want you to think, now, if this providence thing is true, I ought to see it on the pages of Scripture. And as you're reading through the Bible, you consider if God is truly ordering the events that are happening on the face of the earth and in the affairs of men and with the waters and the weathers and the planets. And you'll see very quickly on the pages of Scripture that God is ruling His creation by a mighty providence. Okay? But we're going to look at that very specifically. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that. Okay? And that God is fulfilling all of His plans and purposes. How many of you know God has a plan for your life? Right? How many of you have told people, God has a plan for your life? Let me ask you a question. What does plan imply?
Something thought out
beforehand.
That's right.
Right? You're going to build a house, what are you going to do? You're going to make a plan. Why? So that when you get the house put together, it all works right. Right? Well, if you're God and you're going to create a universe with angels and men and mountains and trees and birds and hills and valleys, right? You're going to have a plan, aren't you? Amen?
Amen.
And so God has a plan. Well, what does that imply? That implies that God must have the resources to carry it out. Amen? And the ability to see it through until it's completed. Now, if God doesn't have that ability, family, we're in big trouble. Amen? I mean, I know I set out to do things all the time, and sometimes I get them done, and sometimes I'm thwarted. Because God is sovereign, not me. There's going to come a day when I can't go out and mow the grass anymore. Right? And I make these big plans in my head. I'm going to go out and mow the grass today. Right? But I don't always have the resources to carry them out. You with me? But that's what sets me apart from God. Amen? God is omniscient and omnipotent. He knows everything, and He possesses all power. There isn't anything that the Lord can't do. Amen?
Amen?
Including create the universe with a spoken word. And bring to pass the epic saga and mystery of all of the ages of His creation and His plan of redemption and His mighty providence. You're going to tell me heaven's going to be boring? Let me tell you, when you cast your eyes upon the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth, it will send your soul reeling for the eons of eternity with the simple beauty of His majesty.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. You see what the Bible says? The Bible says that God created everything with a purpose. God has a plan for everything that He made. And everything is in the hands of God to bring to pass its own purpose for which it was made. Amen? Consider the ramifications of such a statement. A lot of things God created. Why, God even made roaches. And centipedes. Maggots. Right? God's made all kinds of things. Listen, every one of them has a purpose. And roaches are quite pleasant, frankly, when you consider demons. Or how about Beelzebub, the prince of the demons? That liar, that thief, that killer. the enemy of men's souls, the arch rival of God's holy angels. Amen? Who, by the way, are much more powerful than Satan. Revelation 20, verse 1. God's got a bad dude there. He can lock Satan up with chains whenever he's ready. Amen?
Amen.
Because Satan is a created being. And he was created by God for the purpose for which God made him. And guess what he's fulfilling? The purpose for which God made him. Amen? Because you see, God's throne is in heaven, where Satan has been cast out, by the way. And God's sovereignty rules over all, including all of the creatures he has made. Amen? We need a right view, family. We need a proper understanding of who God is and who his created order of beings are. Amen? If we hope to see our world rightly. Amen? Gives new meaning to the term fear not. Amen? For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Somebody going to thwart his plan? If God decides to set his love on you and save your soul from death and send you into heaven as a worshiper for the eons of eternity, what do you suppose is going to happen?
It'll come to pass.
Amen. Well, I won't just make empty statements. I'll let God speak. As we go through this, I will show you these things clearly in the Scripture. Okay? So, the Lord has made everything for its own purpose. Listen to this. That the divine purpose could meet with frustration is unthinkable. For then it would not be the divine purpose. Amen? We're back right here, family. God is God. If God has a purpose, to think that something would frustrate what God wants to do would mean that He's not God. Amen? You with me? Listen, failure of God's purpose is failure of His sovereignty. If He can't bring it to pass, then He's not the authority. You know, a king sits on a throne, he's got a rebel, what does he do? Tells the chief general, right? Hey, go take care of my light work, would you? Right? And the general goes out, and what's he do? He enforces the decree of the king. Amen? And the king has the power to bring that rebel under control and subdue him. If the king can't subdue that rebel, what happens? The throne is overthrown. Amen? And we have a new sovereign. Right? Not so with God. Not so with God. Listen, failure of God's purpose is failure of His sovereignty. If He can't bring it to pass, He's not sovereign. He's not control. Somebody else has authority rather than Him. Think about it. Now, remember, I told you, stay with me. Stay with me, okay? We're going to get there. Today is just an overview, all right? Listen, God cannot be God and not be sovereign. He cannot be God and not be sovereign, for then He would not be God. Scripture is very clear about this. How about Ephesians 1:11? There it says, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." You see, the Scripture makes very clear, explicit statements about God's sovereignty. Here's one right here. One of the most clear in the whole Bible. That God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Let me put it in modern English. God does what He wants to. Amen? That's what the Scripture is saying. Because He has that ability, family. Not only does He have that ability, He can plan and predestine the whole thing before it ever comes to pass. Amen? The Scripture is very clear about this. How about even Satan was created to achieve the very purpose for which God made him? Isaiah 10:15. asks a rhetorical question. It says there, is the axe to boast itself over the one who chops with it? Is Satan going to somehow arraign God? Is Satan going to impugn God's decrees or overturn them? Of course not. He's simply an axe that God uses to chop with, that God fashioned out of his own might. Amen? How about Isaiah 54:16? Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. There God says he created the destroyer for a purpose. Amen? God created the destroyer to destroy. Because that's all part of the purpose of God. Okay? Stay with me. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 29:11. And there the scripture says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heavens and the earth, Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and Thou dost exalt Thyself as head over all. What words, think about this, what words can describe the greatness of God and His power? Surely we cannot describe the greatness of God because He's infinite and we are finite. Right? How could we use words that would describe how great God is? How vast is He? If He stretches out the heavens like a tent, if the span of His hand measures the expanse of the heavens, how great is God? Are there words to describe it? Well, there aren't human words. Amen? But by the Spirit, we get a glimpse of this. And we have a great appreciation for the greatness of God. Amen? Let us not throw Him down in the annals of our mind by considering Him to be less than He has manifested Himself to be. Psalm 19 puts it like this, The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the firmament speaks of His handiwork. Amen? Walk out the front door when we're done with service and just look at the mountains and think about the majesty of God. Amen? Okay. Listen to how the Scripture describes it here in 1 Chronicles. It describes the greatness of God by saying that His is the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Think about those terms, what they're saying about God. He possesses these things. As Jeremiah says in chapter 32, verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and by Thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. You hear what the Bible says? The Bible says, God made the heavens and the earth by His power and nothing is too difficult for Him. Amen? That's massive. Would you agree? It's transcendent. It's beyond anything that's earthly. Are you with me? God's power is immense. It says that God's is the glory, as in Revelation 15. There it says, Great and marvelous are Thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are Thy ways, Thou King of the nations. And the Bible asks, Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? Amen? Who is it who will rebel against God the Almighty? For Thou alone art holy, for all the nations will come and worship before Thee, for Thy righteous acts have been revealed. You see how the Bible talks about God? He's transcendent. He's high and lifted up. He's above all. And the Scripture says, His is the glory. Amen? His is the glory. And it says that His is the victory. that He will always prevail with victory against His enemies. How about a very clear statement from the Bible? Isaiah 42:13. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse His zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against His enemies. Amen? Listen, the rebel will be subdued. Amen? So stay with God. Okay? Just watch and see. These things are the Lord's doing, and they're marvelous in our sight. Amen? You just watch as God subdues the rebel. Listen, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Amen? And He's going to be on His throne. And there ain't going to be any more dying or crying going on there. Amen? There isn't going to be any more mourning or pain. Listen, these things that are happening, family, they're happening for God's purpose. So just rest and watch it all and rejoice at the mighty victory and power and glory of God. Amen? And you can do that because God has your best interest in mind. And if you love God, the Scripture says everything that you have and everything that happens to you all works together for your good by God's mighty power. Amen? What more could God give us than what we have? Amen? Well, the authority of His Majesty is the most regal and beautiful, stately and splendid, magnificent grandeur of all. Think about the word majesty and what that term must mean when applied to God. So I try to use a few terms to help us grab it. Right? Splendid. Splendor, the Scripture says. Listen to the biblical account, Psalm 96:4-9. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. They're blocks of wood. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. So the Scripture says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of peoples. In other words, worship God. Worship Him. Ascribe to Him glory and strength, the Scripture says. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name and bring an offering and come into His courts and worship the Lord in holy attire and tremble before Him all the earth. Amen? You see how the Bible talks about God? I wish I had more words. I'm trying to find them all in the Bible too. Amen? These things are high and lifted up. These things are far beyond our ability to comprehend. Amen? But they're spiritual words that are discerned by the Spirit. Amen? God help us. God help us to discern the meaning of these things about God and His kingdom and His purposes. Amen? Well, it goes on. 1 Chronicles 29, it says, indeed, everything that is in heaven and earth, Thine is the dominion, O Lord. Again, another explicit, clear statement in the Bible that God's dominion is everywhere in the heavens and the earth. Amen? The Scripture plainly declares. Now, I want you to grasp a hold of this, because you're going to hear me say this about 400 times. Over the next 9 months. Okay? The Scripture plainly declares. The Scripture plainly proclaims. It's not up for argument. We're not having a Socratic discussion with God, where everybody puts in their 2 cents worth. Okay? This is the Word of the living God. Amen? And when we look at it, we see the very words of God Himself. Amen? And so, I just want you to remember this little phrase. Okay? The Scripture plainly declares that God created all things and is the possessor of everything. Okay? The Bible says God owns everything. Since God is the creator of all things, He also is the rightful owner and proprietor of all things. If a man owns a house and he wants to hang a picture on the wall, what does he do? Hangs a picture on the wall. Man wants to go in the backyard, wants to plant a garden, what does he do? Plants a garden, right? If he has the resources, he can get her done, right? He's got a leak in the roof, gets a can of roof cement, goes on the roof, finds a leak, what's he do? Fix the leak, right? Lady wants to cook a fabulous dinner, right? She gets out a few carrots, piece of meat, a little bit of salt, right? Whips it up, voila! Carrot and beef souffle. Right? You with me? She is the proprietor of her kitchen and her food. Right? You with me? Listen, the Scripture says that God is the owner of everything. And He is therefore the proprietor. He rules over the whole creation. Why? Because He made it. He made it for His own self. Amen? And we get to share. What do you have that you did not receive? Says the Bible. Amen? Why, even your next breath comes from God. So God is the rightful owner. He's the rightful proprietor. Listen to this. He possesses everything and therefore has a sovereign right or prerogative to do as He pleases. Okay? Now that's one of those statements that steps all over people's toes. Let me tell you why. Because people have a little thing going on inside the heart called pride. And nobody wants to be told that somebody else is a higher authority than they are. Because everybody wants to do as they please. Amen? Now, some more than others. Some have been born again by the Spirit of God and have had their pride dashed under the feet of their sins and are aware of it. Right? And others aren't and openly rebel against authority and openly disobey God's commandments right in His face and provoke Him to His face daily. The same God we've been talking about. You know, that's what sinners do. They provoke God to His face constantly. Amen? That right there is reason enough for Christians and saints to flee from sin. Amen? Not to mention the clear revelation that God has given us, instructing us how to identify it and how to flee from it. Amen? And the destructive consequences that come from it. Amen? God help us. God help us. Listen to what the Scripture says about God's ownership of everything. Exodus 9:29. And Moses said to him, "As soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's." Moses said to Pharaoh, "Look, I'm going to go out here. I'm going to raise my hands to the Lord, and God's going to quit raining down thunder and hail on you so that you will know that God is God." Amen? And that's exactly what Moses, the prophet, did. So first he prophesied it after he had planned it. And then he went out and did it. Right? By God's sovereign power. Amen? Because God had endued Moses with some authority. God had endued Moses with a little bit of power. God had endued Moses. You with me? We'll talk about that more about that. But look here, Exodus 19:5. "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." God says He owns the whole earth. How about Deuteronomy 10:14? "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it." Could the Bible be any more explicit about God's ownership of everything? He says, even the highest heavens, as far out as that Hubble telescope can see, is the dominion of God. Amen? Why? Because He's the creator and therefore the proprietor. Amen? Okay. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Psalm 89:11. The heavens are thine and also the earth, the world and all it contains, for thou hast founded them. Amen? Listen, God owns everything. The Bible plainly declares that. Okay? How about this? The Scripture plainly declares that God rules and does as He pleases with anything and everything that He has made. Now listen to this. God is totally free to do whatever He pleases. Now I'm going to write this big old word on the board. Free will. Now that term gets thrown around all the time in Christian circles. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you a question. I made this statement. God is totally free to do whatever He pleases. Whenever He pleases, however He pleases. Now, I'd like to suggest to you that He is the only being who has that ability.
Amen.
And if you can't see that, we need to get you a new pair of glasses. Amen?
Amen?
Man, I can't even put on the right color socks in the morning. You with me? I mean, I go to work, I make a mistake. Man, I mess up all kinds of people's day. I go throughout my life like a bumbling idiot many times. Because I can't even see 10 feet in front of me. You with me? Is your life kind of like mine?
Amen.
So, you know, I mean, I could make some ridiculous... I mean, you know, what if I want to fly to the mountaintop? Shall I just... Superman? What am I going to do? Huh? You know, I want to build a castle out of granite. And I want it to be 16,000 square feet. And I want it to be right on Sandia Crest. Okay, everybody, get to work. Let's go build my castle.
Good luck.
Oh, my will is free, is it not? I mean, I can do whatever I want. I have a free will. I'm free to do whatever I please, aren't I? Now, does that give new meaning to the term free will? Let me tell you something. This is not a biblical word. It's not in the Bible. But Christians use it all the time to talk about how autonomous they are. Let me tell you, you are not autonomous. You are a creature which is to be distinct from the Creator.
Amen.
And the first thing that anybody learns as a Bible student in distinctions between Creator and creature is this. The Creator has a free will. The creature is subject to the will of the Creator.
Amen.
You don't even exist unless God creates you. You don't last another minute unless He gives you another breath and make your heart beat one more time. And let me tell you, when your day is up, it's over. When the Almighty says it's done, guess what?
It's done.
It's done. How many of you know the croc hunter? Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Beautiful man. Lovely man. Right? Sweet man. Doing his thing, you know, with all the conviction that he's got. You know? He's one of those guys that, man, he can just conquer the world. He can go out and do it all. Right? Let me tell you, when the Almighty says your days are done, guess what? Your days are done. And there wasn't no crocodile eat him. He's just swimming along in the water. Just swimming along in the water. Little stingray comes by, pokes him in the heart, lights out. Who commands the sea creatures? Where'd I get a thing like that? The Bible! Amen! Praise God! Okay. So, you're with me. Gene, were you going to comment there, brother?
I think it was just what you've been saying.
Oh, okay.
He's free, we can't be free.
Amen. Let me tell you something. When we come to understand that God's will is totally free and ours is not, I want you to know that that is a doctrine, a teaching of great rejoicing.
Amen.
Listen, if things were up to me, we'd all be in a big mess. Amen? Praise God, things aren't up to me. Amen? And things aren't up to you. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make you pass straight.
Amen?
Amen. 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 That's a creature-creator distinction for you. Amen? Okay. Listen, the Bible plainly declares that God rules and does as He pleases. Daniel 4, 34 and 35. For His dominion. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what hast thou done? Amen?
Amen.
The scripture says God does as He pleases, and everything in the world before Him is accounted as nothing. Listen, He just made the world. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. And let there be land and ground and animals and trees and valleys and hills and people and brains and eyes and fists and everything that God created. Yep. Amen? Joe?
He did it without baling wire and duct tape.
He did it without baling wire and duct tape. What's Joe saying? He's saying the majesty of God. He just speaks. And it all comes to pass. And I'm telling you, that didn't deplete God's power one iota. He could have done it a million times over in the same breath. Amen? That's who God is, family. That's who God is. That alone ought to cause us to tremble when we consider Him. Amen? Especially knowing what we've done. You with me? Psalm 135, verse 5 and 6. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and in earth, and the seas and in all deeps. Okay? Listen, the Bible is crystal clear that God does whatever He pleases. Amen? How many of you see that clearly in the Bible? Okay. Look at this verse. Going on in 1 Chronicles 29. Thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Okay? Now, listen to this. The Scripture plainly declares that God is the highest authority and that He is the one who establishes all other authority in heaven and earth. Okay? Romans 13:1. Very explicit statement. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Amen?
Amen.
What does that say? It says that all other authority that's in the earthly realms, you know, let's talk about a few. You got Bush, and you got all these sovereign nations, you know. You got all these peoples in the world, and there's all these different kinds of people in the world. And they all have these principalities and governments and hierarchies of authority. And they all have their own little providence. Right? And some have more providence than others. The Scripture says that God establishes all of that authority. Right? And of course, you know, you come down under that and you got states and you got cities. And you got citizens, right? And there's all these chains of authority. You know what the Bible says? Whatever authority exists has been established by God.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Consider that. When you think about God's sovereignty, we're speaking specifically about His authority. The Scripture says that every authority that exists has been established by God. That one statement alone means this: God is sovereign.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, if He's the one that establishes all other authority, He must possess all the authority. Amen? Not only that, but with it, the power to enforce it. Right? And of course, that's why the Scripture says He rules over all. His sovereignty rules over all because He sits on a throne in heaven. Amen? See that? You see how clear the Bible is about that? Okay, I want you to remember that because we're going to get into some deep water and you're going to need to remember that. Okay? Okay. God is highly exalted above everything that is. Therefore, God exalts Himself above us and above everything and commands that we worship Him because it is the right and proper to do so. Now, one question real quick. Who does the Bible say exalts God?
God.
Thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Yep. So, if God's going to be given some authority, who's going to give God His authority?
God.
What does the Bible say about who gives God His authority? God. Right? Right there in those few words. Thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Amen? It just got done saying, thine is the dominion in all the heavens and the earth. Right? And you exalt yourself. Listen, God is His own authority. Amen? Okay. But not only that, listen, it's right and it's proper for God to be the authority. Why? Because He's God. There's only one. He's the Creator. Everything else is in subjugation to God. Amen? Now I want to ask you some questions here. Consider how appropriate this is. That God is on the throne and has established all other authority underneath Him. Consider how appropriate that is. How proper it is for God to be there and nobody else to be there. For there to be one single sovereign, which is what the word sovereign means. Sovereign is the highest authority. He's the sovereign. Right? Well, would it be right for some other being to occupy God's great seat of authority? I mean, you know, God made everything, and then He said, Greg, we're going to set you on throne today. We want you to rule the world today, buddy. Okay? And by the way, don't forget, you got some planets in orbit out there. We don't want you to forget any of those. Right? Right? And by the way, Fred's having some marital problems. Right? And we got a little war going on over in, you know, the Far East over there. Right? So, you know, be careful where those bombs land, okay? Okay, Greg? Would you take care of that? You with me? No, I try to emphasize that to say, think how proper it is that God is on the throne.
Amen.
You with me? Trust me, we don't want it any other way. It would be improper for someone else to impugn the authority of God, which is what we do every time we sin. Think what a rebel you are in the kingdom of God. You with me? That's tough stuff, man. You know, right now, you know, God hasn't shown up and set His throne right here in front of our eyes. He's just made a promise. But let me tell you something. Day's coming real soon. Day's coming real soon. And the Scripture says every man is going to stand before the throne. Every woman is going to stand before the throne and give an account to God. Furthermore, the Scripture says somebody's going to die because of sin. And either Jesus is going to die for your sins, or you are going to die for your sins. One or the other. Amen?
Amen.
God help us to consider the authority of God rightly. And teach us to number our days. And consider our actions and our words and our thoughts. Amen? Well, would it be proper for a creature to somehow be exalted above the one who created it? Would it be right? Indeed, this cannot be. Otherwise, He would not be God. If some other thing could exalt itself above the authority of God, God would not be God. Okay? This is why idolatry is the great sin of mankind. As we seek to give improper place to something other than God, who should properly be exalted in our view as king and sovereign over us. You know, God's going to give us a list of commandments to live by. What's the first thing He says? Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. I mean, let's get right down to the nitty gritty, God. Right? You with me? Yeah. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. What's He say? I am the Lord. Amen? It's improper. It's perverted. It's distorted. For someone to exalt themselves above the law of God. Amen? Helps us to understand more about sin, doesn't it? Well, I say this is high treason against the greatest majesty that exists. For us to treasure something, anything, more than we treasure God, is high treason against the highest majesty that exists. Let me tell you why. Because it is right and proper to treasure God. He alone is worthy of that place of ascribing value and worth with the capacities that we have. Amen? This is why God exalts Himself above us and commands that we worship Him, because it is right and proper and is in reality the highest good of the creature to worship and praise the Creator. Amen? Listen, the highest good that you can perform is to worship God. Because when you worship God, you see everything else in the proper place for which it was created. When you see Him as God and you acknowledge Him with the will that He gave you, then you see things in their right place. When you see Him as exalted, as head over all. Psalm 97:9. For Thou art the Lord Most High over all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Amen? Listen, when Isaiah speaks of the coming day of the Lord's anger, in chapter 2, verse 11, listen to what he says. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. That's a scary statement. Amen? God is going to have a day of reckoning, family. And I hope you're looking forward to that day. Not for the judgment of God. Not for the judgment of God. But so that we can be released from these bodies of sin and no longer subject to sin itself and its consequences. But we will be transformed so that we are like Him. Amen? Immortal. Immortal. This mortal, the Scripture says, shall put on immortality. Amen?
Amen?
The last thing in the world we would wish on anybody is the judgment of God. Amen? Scripture says, woe to those who long for the day of the Lord. Because it will be a day of clouds and blackness, of darkness and gloom. We should not look with great eagerness for God to judge. That is not going to be a pretty sight. You with me? Although it is right and proper for us to want justice to prevail and to long for the day when God will set everything right. Amen? But it will be a terrible day indeed. How many of you know God can be terrible? Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, we're going to knock off right there. Please, if you have questions, please raise your hand. If you're not comfortable raising your hand and asking questions, then put them down in writing and hand them to me or email them to me, and I will be happy to address them publicly in the class. Okay? Let's pray. God, our Father, we are so privileged, Lord, to just briefly talk about your authority and your great power. And God, I just pray that these things would just become the very rejoicing of our heart. God, when we consider the joy that we have because you are the King, God, I pray that you would just give us a profound sense of security, knowing that our lives are in your hands, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that not only your sovereignty, but your great love, which is great to the heavens. Oh, Lord, we thank you for these truths. We honor you and we bless you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please,